Have your Bibles and will turn with me to 1 Timothy. We want to continue our study through 1 Timothy. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 5 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise, and just pause here, we need to go back to the previous chapter or two chapters where Paul was teaching Timothy doctrinal truths that he needed to introduce to the church as the church was new and the church needed to understand how they were to live. And he also talked about the importance in the previous portion of this letter about the gospel and staying true to the gospel. And that's what Paul's referring to in this paragraph as he writes this letter to Timothy. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. Help us to understand that we need to have a solid base of doctrine in our lives where we understand the teaching of your word and the truth contained within it. Lord, speak to us this morning as Paul is writing this to Timothy and you so graciously have preserved it for us through the power of your Spirit, that we can understand these truths when we live in an age where a spirit of deception is great amongst us. Lord, now I pray that you just teach us from the truth of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's hard to believe that in the matter of just a few short years, the Apostle Paul had established churches under God's direction and inspiration throughout what is today Turkey, northern Lebanon, Greece, and then in establishing these churches, some of these churches that we see in Scripture, he spent years there. The church at Ephesus, he spent about 3 years laying doctrine for them. He made multiple trips to many of the churches. He had a burden for the Corinthians. And if you look at where these people had come from, you need to understand Paul's burden that they would understand truth. In Ephesus, they had a temple to the goddess Diana. That is a pagan, demonic entity that stirred men's and women's hearts to lust and rebellion against God. And that's what the people had grown up being surrounded by. In Corinth, you had the same spirit. A spirit against the rebellion to God's truth. And these people were called out of this tremendous darkness. Sometimes I think that as you look at our world today, we do not realize the impact that the world spirit, or what they call the zeitgeist, the world spirit has had on the hearts of Christians. And we do not perceive the depth of the darkness around us. I think sometimes what is happening in the world today in some ways is good because God is really showing the difference between darkness and light. But are we as God's people going to have the perception to realize the difference? One of the things that every one of the apostolic writers of the New Testament warned about, and Jesus warned about, and we have been talking about as we've been going through Timothy, and as we've looked at other books, even when we went through the book of Matthew, when we went through the book of Revelation, when we studied the book of Daniel, false teaching, error, Gnosticism. You know, Gnosticism is a big word. And sometimes big words, we kind of go, what does it really mean? Well, if you are a Gnostic, and there are still Gnostics today, and there are still Gnostics in the church presenting their heretical teachings, if you are a Gnostic, you think that you have special knowledge that only you possess, or only you and a few others of the enlightened ones. The Bible speaks against it because he says there is only one truth, and that truth is contained within the Word of God because God is truth and God alone. And we see that the Gnostics would say, well, there's many truths. I was sharing with someone this last week. I used to have lunch a number of years ago with a pastor, and he came up to me, and I would question some of the things that he was teaching and believing. And one day we were at lunch, and he said, "I just want to tell you something, Glenn. You have a different belief system than I've got." And I said, "Well, how so? We both say that we're Christians." He said, "Well, you see things in black and white. I see just a little bit of black, a little bit of white, and a whole bunch of gray. And I think that we live our lives in the world of gray. And that you have to interpret what's right and wrong within that world of gray." I asked him, "Where's that world of gray in the Bible? Where is it found? Where in the Bible does it tell us as Christians that God's going to give us somehow special knowledge that will enable us to interpret things different from what Paul and Peter and John and James and anyone who had come before us saw? And that somehow we have this special revelation that will be given to us and that we will know how we are to live where other people don't." That's Gnosticism. I remember another pastor that told me he had special revelation from God and he knew the King James Bible codes and very few people knew them. And they gave you special insight into what was happening in today's world. I told them, I said, "I don't need King James Bible codes to see what's happening in today's world. All I need to do is read the book of Revelation. All I need to do is read the words of Jesus. All I need to do is look at the prophets in the Old Testament that spoke of the last days, and I see it all around me." How do you get this special knowledge of these King James Bible codes? How do I get it? Well, you have to get this special computer program, and it will basically pull letters out of various sentences in various books, creating different sentences and giving you great enlightenment. For example, and he tried to share something with me, and I'm going, "So what you're telling me is prior to us developing computers and computer programmers that could develop and create and have artificial intelligence to develop sentences out of other sentences, we didn't know the Bible. Men like Harry Ironside, I've got a couple of his booklets out in back and a couple of his books. You should read them. He was a tremendous Bible expositor. He believed the Bible. He wasn't looking for extra interpretations by King James Bible codes. And I said, what if you don't have a King James Bible? Because the King James Bible really isn't the original. The original was written in Greek, Aramaic, and in Hebrew. Does your computer program apply to them? So why would these codes just be in the King James Bible? Was there something special about Elizabethan English that gave us special codes? You see, these are Gnostics. They're heretics. They want you to believe that you don't have enough wisdom and knowledge that's been given to you by God and the power of God's Spirit living in you as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you can read this Word and God can show you the truths that are contained within it. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing about the heretical things that are coming to the church, and Timothy needs to be prepared. You need to be prepared. Why do you believe what you believe? And who has influenced you to believe what you believe? And was that influence from God or men? Because that's the whole issue here that Paul is talking about. He says, if any man teach otherwise... And the otherwise is, in contrary to the doctrines that have been laid out in God's Word and have been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go back, and I want you to say, people tell me, well, you know, I've had people tell me, well, you can just about throw away the Old Testament. We don't, well, maybe read a psalm once in a while, but we never really study the Old Testament because you don't have to. Everything we need is in the New Testament. I want to tell you, you will never understand the New Testament completely unless you read the Old Testament, and you're to read the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, and you're not to take and cut out part of the Bible and throw it away and say, I don't need it. You need the whole book. Because the principles contained within the New Testament are found in the Old Testament, and they are expounded on in the New Testament. I heard the statement made once, in the Old Testament concealed and the New Testament revealed. There are principles that were concealed in the Old Testament not fully understand. The prophets of the Old Testament did not fully understand the coming of the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew that this person was coming to take away their sins. It was revealed to them in Isaiah 53, but they could not conceptualize how it was actually going to happen. And I want to tell you that it's fully revealed in the New Testament. It showed that Jesus was born, just as it is said in Isaiah, of a virgin. Because he had to be born of a virgin, because sin came through Adam, and he had to be born of a virgin that he would be the Son of God. God come in the flesh. Now, we see that you look at other principles in the Old Testament that are revealed in the New. If you were Daniel, and you were looking forward to all the events in history that God was revealing to you, would you fully comprehend all the things that were going to transpire through history? How there would be this kingdom after kingdom after kingdom after kingdom, and they devour one another, but yet they'd have the same spirit. They'd be different, but yet they'd be the same. And how that one of these kingdoms would resurrect itself in the last days. And that out of this kingdom would come the unholy Trinity that Satan would try to put together to take the place of God. Yet, The New Testament goes into greater detail in the book of Revelation. Did you know that Orthodox Jews can only read one Bible out of the New Testament? You know which Bible it is? It's the book of Revelation. Now, if they really read the book of Revelation, they will see throughout that whole book one person exalted, Jesus Christ. And they will not be able to deny it. But do you know why they will allow them to read the book of Revelation? Because it's got so much Old Testament quotes from Old Testament prophets in it dealing with the last days. And today, you pick up the book of Revelation and things that Bible expositors couldn't understand 30 years ago, they understand today. How in the world were you going to be able to control everybody's money and be able to control every person in the world? How can you do that? 30 years ago, it was an impossibility. Today, it's not. I was just listening to some, and this wasn't a Bible teacher, this was secular people on the news, talking about what the World Economic Forum's plans are when it comes to the economy. Because they were saying, you know, I've got my house paid for. I own my farmland. I have no debt. How are they going to get me? Ask the people in China how they got them. And when you have a digitized money and there is no dollar bills and people are limited to how you can ever trade in gold and silver, and you want to meet here on Sunday morning and we're going to preach out of this Bible, and they find out I'm preaching and you're listening, we get things taken out of our digital bank account. And so what if you own your house? You heard of a reverse mortgage? They'll have the ultimate reverse mortgage. They'll just take its value away and take its value away. Is that something we should fear? No, the Bible told us it was coming. And the Bible told us it was coming so that we could be prepared. Now, I want you to listen to what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, what should the main thrust of the message of the Christian church be? Jesus Christ come to redeem sinners, the impact of sin in the lives of men, and that there is hope for anyone who will receive Jesus. And that there have been wicked, vile, antichrist-spirited men throughout history. But God has always had His people. And God has always worked through His people. We need to understand that there are going to come men, and they're going to be in the church. And they're going to come, and they're not going to preach sound words. Someone very close to me was all excited about the Bible program they were having for their church. And they put up a big banner in the back of the church and it said, Reformation. But Reformation for what? What gospel were they preaching? What were they calling men to do? One of the things that disturbs me about the church in America today is you've got Christians that don't seem to be bothered by all the ungodliness that is happening to our young people. Some of them embracing it. And yet if you look at some of these ungodly pastors that even promote things that are unspeakable. The destruction of people's bodies. The denying that God created us as men and women. The destruction of families. What they are is they're not holding to sound doctrine. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Is it godly to walk in darkness? I mentioned in the adult Sunday school class this morning that the perception of light and darkness has been one I think that the church has lost to a large degree. Oh, we become concerned about politics, but are we concerned about righteousness? We're concerned about justice being done within our courts, but are we concerned about living righteous in our lives? There's a reason that wickedness is prevailing in America today. It is, if you read the scriptures, you will see that Paul went into dark places to bring the gospel. The amazing thing that when he brought the gospel to these dark places, people wanted to flee the darkness and embrace the light of Jesus Christ. In Ephesus, in the book of Ephesus, it says that the people took, and it was the equivalent of 20,000 pieces of silver of occultic literature and artifacts, that they built a giant bonfire and burned it when they came to Christ. How many people in the church today want to hang on to occultic artifacts? And if you mention things that are of the occult that are permeating the church, you are in trouble. Talk to somebody who's taking yoga classes at one of the churches and you'll find out how quickly you can be chastised for saying you're unloving, you're unkind, you're a legalist. Occult. Or maybe I don't see anything wrong. I remember a number of years ago, and this is before, it's getting even worse. But a number of years ago, God brought to our attention, and there were a lot of children's toys that had occultic overtones. And my wife was reading this book written by Barrett Chose. It was talking about what is in your child's play box. And my wife became convicted, and so she started throwing toys out. And she saw a friend of hers, and her friend was so excited because she just got one of these something, it was a rainbow something, but it was a rainbow unicorn. I think. It's been 30 years ago. And my wife tried to share with her, well, that really has occultic overtones. And she got so mad. That's my daughter's new toy! Well, do you realize the influence that can be having on your daughter? I want to tell you, Hollywood is not your friend. Hollywood is not your children's friend. Disneyland and Disney is not your friend if you're a Christian. Do you know the occultic things that they're putting into the new Disney videos for kids? Transgender, transhuman, making it normal. And this impacts minds. When you're young, sometimes it's hard to dissociate reality from... Like, I remember I watched way too much TV when I was a little kid. And back then, they had a show that was called Mighty Mouse. There's a mouse that had supernatural powers. But I want to tell you some things. I'm just going to give you a couple examples of these things, and then I'm going to come back to these false teachers. Does man have supernatural powers? The answer is no. There's only one man who possessed supernatural powers. That was the God-man, Jesus Christ. Hollywood created a mouse that had supernatural powers. They created a man that had supernatural powers, Superman. He could leap buildings at a single bound. He could outrun locomotives. He could fly faster than the fastest airplane. He could see through things. You want to know something? There's no man I've ever known that could do any of that. But what they were doing is they were getting you to replace in your mind that somehow you could do those things if you just had enough faith. Faith in what? Faith in the system that they were going to start laying out for you over the next 20 or 30. Evil is very slow. Just heard a deal that Klaus Schwab has been planning what he's doing now for the last 50 years since the end of World War II. He's been planning a one-world government. He's been planning a one-world economy. He's been planning a way to manipulate and control things. He's been planning so he could tell you, you will own nothing and love it, and you will eat crickets and enjoy it. My Bible tells me that's Antichrist. But do you realize how many people in the world have been being prepared for this? And they go out and they listen to Hollywood brainwash them time after time after time as they go to the movies, turn on the TV, and don't challenge it at all. Do you challenge what you read? Do you challenge what you see? Do you challenge what people tell you? Or do you just take it in? And are you influenced by it so you begin to do some of the things? Paul says, there's only one truth. That is the truth that was given by the doctrine that is found and given to us by Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Jesus didn't come to earth until, you know, a little over 2,000 years ago. So then there wasn't truth. No, Jesus was there. It says Jesus, John told us. And it says John in his gospel tells us Jesus created the world. And it says, how is the world created? By His Word. And where do we find truth? In His Word. The Word was there before the foundation of the world was even existed. God's truth has always existed. And Satan's lies would have us disbelieve that. But Paul goes on and he says, we're to trust in the doctrine which is according to Christ's godliness. He is proud. This is the one who would bring us false teachings. This person is proud, knowing nothing. Have you ever met anybody like that? I've met people like that. Proud, arrogant. And the more you talk to them, the more you realize they know nothing. some of the most arrogant people that we have in the world today want to lead us into rebellion against God. And they know nothing. They know nothing of where they're going. They know nothing of their final outcome. They know nothing of the final judgment that they must face. They know nothing of the accountability that they must stand, because they believe in a lie. He says, they're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Do we have that in our world today? Just pick up and see what people are. You got a Supreme Court justice that can't give a definition of what a woman is, and she's a woman. And she's going to be judging us. She can't even tell us what a woman is. Do you want to know why she can't tell us why? Because she's one of these people. She'd rather rail and argue and lay out false doctrines and come against you and destroy everything that is truth than admit what a woman is. And admit what a man is. And what they do is they have disputes. One of the big disputes now is, can a man have a baby? You picked up on that dispute? That's a big dispute now in our country. Can a man have a baby? Well, a man can have a baby if a woman says she's a man, because she can have a baby. But if she says she's a woman, yeah, she can have a baby. But if a man says he's a man, he probably can't have a baby. But if he says he's a woman, well, no, I guess he still can't. But perhaps a woman if she says he's a man. Your head just goes, what? These people are insane. But what they are doing is denying the authority of God. They're denying who God is, and they're denying sound doctrine found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ says, I've created two sexes, man and woman. I created them equal in my eyes, equal in salvation, but I've given to them different responsibilities, and I've equipped them to be effective in the responsibilities I've given them. If you have Christians preaching woke doctrine, they're leaping into darkness. Listening to a man, I don't think he's a Christian, but he perceived this quite rightly. You take away men's responsibility of being men, and you effeminate a whole culture, and you've made that culture totally vulnerable to be overtaken. What did God equip men to do? He equipped men to be the leader of their home, the protector of their home, the teacher of the home, the one who would give direction to the home. What did He equip women to do? To be the comforter of the home, to be the one that would be there, to be the helpmeet. That means to be the one alongside the man, to be the one that would be there with him, that everything the man was not given, she was given, and that together they would complement one another. Except in our modern culture, where men have all become wimps, they used to have a woman to be there to comfort and to give direction and give a different perspective. But now we have no male perspective per se in our culture, because we're being taught you don't have to. By the church! My wife was reading an interesting book. I ordered some new books, by the way, if you want. There's more books out in the back. There's more pamphlets in the back that we didn't. Some of them we haven't had before. They're all free. Take a look before you leave. But the place I ordered the books from sent me a book. My wife read it, called Stand Alone. We're being told lies by teachers in the church. That if you have certain colors of skin, you should be accountable to other people if they have certain colors of skin because 200 years ago, more of them than us or whatever were in slavery. Do you know something? Slavery is still going on in the world today and a big time. The book Stand Alone is about a man, and today we figured out by when he wrote the book and what was in it, he's probably about in his early 20s. He's from Africa, born in Liberia, trucked across the whole continent of Africa as he was enslaved and sold into slavery. And you know something? The only beacons of hope he found along the whole journey were Christians. True Christians. But the slave people, they would tell him things like, you fall off the truck as we're going across the Sahara Desert, we're not stopping, you're dead. So you better hang on. Now you've got the world upside down and you've got false teachers in the church saying, oh, we need to be responsible for people that owned slaves 200 years ago. Well, what about the ones that are being enslaved right now in Africa? What about the ones that are being enslaved right now in the Middle East? What about the ones that are being enslaved right now in the United States through trafficking of various sorts? As our borders are wide open and we're allowing people to come in, and I forget how many thousands of kids have gone, just disappeared. They've got them recorded coming across the border and they're gone. How many are dead? How many are enslaved? How many have been sacrificed? And yet we've got false teachers in the church, like the ones Paul's warning about, who sit and argue with you. Argue with you about this and about that and about... We had some people, they want to sit and argue with us about doctrine and they throw out really big words. What is your soteriology? I don't know. I don't know the word. It means, how do you view how you're saved? What was your eschatology? I don't know. It means, what do you view the last times? But they like to throw out these big words because then they thought they could get you in a corner, and then they come and throw more big words, and then they bring false doctrine. Like the ones that threw out soteriology a lot were the ones that would say, did you know that God only sent certain people to heaven and certain people were condemned to hell before the foundations of the world, and God did it, and those that are condemned to hell have no means of escape from hell because God already sent them there, and that's the way it is. And that's their view of sovereignty, that's their view of salvation, that's their view of... And I'm going, oh, it doesn't line up with the Bible. Then why would God say in the Bible that God desired that all men would be saved? And that Jesus came and paid the penalty for all men's sins. You know what they do with that? They take words, they cut and paste. Never argue with somebody on a computer because they can cut and paste your article totally apart and make you to change everything you've said. And that's what they do. They cut and paste the Bible. Where in John 3:16, it talks about how Jesus came to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. They take cut out whole and put in elect. Well, elect isn't in the original. If you go to the Greek, it's not there. If you go back in the Old Testament and look at some of those verses where it talks about God desiring that men would turn to Him, man has accountability. But with that view, man's got no accountability. And you want to know where no accountability leads? Look at our world today. You got people that don't feel accountable to anyone. This is exactly what Paul is speaking of when he's talking to Timothy. perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth. They have no truth in their belief system. They tell you they do, but they don't. I want you to understand, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, and we'll get into that next Sunday, gain is godliness. If you're rich, healthy, wealthy, and wise, you've got to be a good Christian. We'll talk to people who paid their life on the mission field and had no money. And the thing is, you need to examine, and I'll close by making a statement, why do you believe what you believe, and who influenced you to believe it? We all have families, we all have friends, we all have people that we look up to, and guess what? If they're not teaching us the doctrine of Jesus, the truth of this book, if they're living by any other standard as a foundation for their life, it's a lie. And I don't care how good it sounds or how good it makes you feel. When I went to college and took psychology, the psychologists and the psychiatrists tried to make you think that all you had to do was feel better about yourself and the world would be great. But the only problem is, when I looked, I knew that I had sin problems in my life. So how do I deal with those? Because they were teaching me a lie. Look to the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's just close. Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Help us to understand the truth of it. And Lord, help us to apply that truth to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 625. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with